Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Inside Scoop Live. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm your host, Juanita Watson, and I have a special guest for you. Author Greg Espinoza is here, and he is going to be talking a little bit about his new book, What the Church Does Not Want You to Know. So a little bit more about Greg. Greg Espinoza grew up in Colton, California, and has pursued many a creative endeavor in his adult life. He considers himself a thinking man who is living his life guided by God's love. He is not a theologian or a philosopher by trade, and this is perhaps why so many people are really relating to the straightforward quest described in his new book. Pursuing every new endeavor in his life with passion and fervor, Greg took on his spiritual pursuits equally, but eventually started having serious doubts about the church as an institution. In his book, What the Church Does Not Want You to Know, Greg warns readers of the greed he sees in today's churches and what he calls the falsehood of salvation for pay. This is certainly a controversial book, as Greg expresses what he considers the critically needed truth about organized religion. And I am just so excited to have this conversation today. So welcome to the program, Greg.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Well, I have to say congratulations on your new book. I know it just came off the press. So what do you think, having it in your hand at this point?
Well, it's exciting. It's almost, sometimes I don't even look at it, you know, that way. I'm just, it's something that's, to me, totally different.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully that, you know, it gets out there in the hands to help people, to give
right.
them understanding.
Right. Because you haven't written any other books. You know, this is your first book, so it was really a book with a message that you wanted to get out there.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes. This, I definitely haven't written any other books, but this book, to me, was written from my heart.
Yeah, yeah. It really comes across. Well, how long was this book actually in the works?
It wasn't really meant to be a book in the very beginning. I explained that a little bit in the book, and it was just something I went through personally. And so I was just studying the Bible and just going through it. And at the same time, I was working at our salon and I'm just writing notes. And then all of a sudden, years later, I have like 6 notebooks all written down, you know, going through something that was just giving me peace doing, to give me understanding so I know that I was doing the right thing. So then all of a sudden, people started asking me. So I started thinking, you know, I have compassion for these people. We ended up making it into a book. So it's been quite a long time mm-hmm. in the process.
So when you were writing, because it sounds almost like you were journal writing, and so much can come up in the way of understanding for people when they journal write like that. So was that a part of your whole process as well, as you were discovering some of these aspects about the church that you now were exposing?
Yeah, it was. Like I said, you know, I basically lived it.
Mm-hmm.
And then hearing all the other people and what they were going through,
mm-hmm.
it, you know, again, I just had compassion for them. So
yeah.
A lot of it was just me living it and hearing and seeing and belonging to different churches, because I believe a lot of us have been through more than one church, trying to find the right church, trying to find the right leader and or the right religion. So a lot of it, again, was just things that I lived and things that I heard and people that I've seen frustrated and heard frustrated. So
mm-hmm.
a lot of it was that.
Well, what was your initial introduction into religion? What were you brought up in a certain denomination?
I was so young. I remember going to catechism. I remember
mm-hmm.
being in the Catholics. But I just, again, I was young. And then once I got to a certain age, I guess what it would be called fall out, you know, and I didn't really go anymore. Then as I grew older and my parents became Christians, so it was like a non-denomination.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got involved in that,
mm-hmm.
and I really just gave it my all,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I thought that was what we're supposed to all do.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I just started realizing that and hearing and just seeing it. It's so hard to explain that. I think when I wrote the book, again, I didn't write it to be a book. So when it was being written, it was just coming straight from my heart because I didn't think it was going to become a book. So again, it just something that was just written straight from my heart and the things that I saw.
So was there a specific point of disillusionment, or was it just an accumulation of a lot of different things that you actually saw in the church?
I think it's a little bit of both, you know, because, you know, in the Word of God, it does say that you could be seduced. And so I sort of felt like that was happening to me because when I, you know, would talk to some of the pastors that I was involved in at the time, you know, they would, you know, certainly tell me that, you know, I can't go on my own, you know, to love God or to get understanding. So it was a little of both to me. You know, a lot of it was, you know, going through it myself, but a lot of it was, you know, I was just starting to see a lot of things that just didn't feel right within, you know, so.
And I realize, you know, one of the big messages that you have in this book is the financial aspect of the church and tithing and how, you know, money is so intertwined at this point. And I know you're on your own personal journey with the church. You went through some major financial hardships because of giving so much money away.
That's very true.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit about that story because, you know, it can't be unique. You know, you're not the only one. And so I'm sure there are people listening that really need to hear that because maybe they're going through that themselves.
Well, that's a long story there in itself.
Okay.
But it was just, you know, again, it's been so long ago. You know, sometimes you try to put that behind you, but I just thought, that was part of it. And then when we were being told so much that you need to give, you know, if you need money, you need to give money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you need a car, you know, you need to give a car, you know, so you could get the 100-fold back. Well, like I said earlier, when I do something, I try to do it from, you know, with all my heart to do what is right.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just kept being told, you know, that we need to give, you know, the basket to come around, we'd give our, you know, the offerings. And it was almost like, every time something was happening in the church, we had to give more money out. And if we didn't give money out, and it was, you know, they basically let you know, how bad it is to rob God. And I would just think to myself, this is a free gift. So again, it was just a lot of confusion I was going through, but I kept giving because I was told that's what you have to do. That's what you need to do in order for God to love you, basically. You know, because if not, they're telling you're robbing, you're stealing from God. And that's not what I read in the Bible. You know, so what I realized was, you know, we need to get in there and study it for ourselves. So, again, we just went through a lot of giving. You know, if we had a speaker, we had to pay for that. If we had someone, I was in a situation where somebody flew down in their private jet, a leader, a church leader, and you know, I literally paid for his gas to come down, you know, to speak at this church. So after a while, I realized I really don't have any more money to give.
You need gas in your own car.
Yes, and it hasn't came back yet. So and the thing that really hurt me was the easy way out of that situation and the reason why I didn't reap what I've sown yet was I allowed the devil in. Somewhere I allowed the devil in. So I'm thinking to myself, well, you know, that's a little harsh to say because nobody knows our hearts except for God, you know. So that was a little, you know, that's a short, you know, reason, but it was a strong situation that we went through. It was harsh.
Yeah. But a big eye-opener at the same time.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it quite possibly could have been that it needed to be that dramatic for you to really snap out of that illusion.
Yes, yes, that's very true.
Mm-hmm. You know, you mentioned the whole idea about the devil, and you mentioned in your book that many church leaders actually use the devil to justify getting people's money.
Yes, yes, that's almost like what I was saying, you know, and it's easy to say that you allow the devil in because nobody could prove that, you know, so it doesn't make it sound like they're telling you wrong. They're basically saying you're doing wrong, you know, so it's all on you, you know, even though you have to still keep giving, you know, they say you got to keep giving. And that those things just really confused me back then. So I just kept studying and studying the Bible, you know, the best I could, you know, and believing that the Holy Spirit would guide me just like God says he would.
And you feel that there was a shift for you?
There was a pretty big shift, you know.
Yeah.
I was writing all these notes down. I was going through such a hard time, and, you know, I just didn't want to do wrong. I didn't want to do wrong in God's sight. So I just kept studying, and that's when all these notebooks came along. I mean, just a lot of experience. It wasn't something that, you know, I just had to write it down. Mm-hmm. But at the time, I had no idea what it was going to turn into.
Where do you think that not wanting to get it wrong or not wanting to do wrong by God, where do you think that sort of a core belief comes from? To me, it seems like there's fear behind it.
Well, you know, there is a fear. I don't completely understand what you're saying, but I think what you're saying is where do people get that feeling like I don't want to do wrong?
Yeah.
Well, I was just talking to someone just very recently, and sort of that situation came up, and I said, well, you know, he says he's called from God, but is there any way to prove that? So what I'm getting at is, it's like, well, people that they fear the name of God, the word of God, you know, which is good, but what's happened is they fear, how can I say this? They fear it more because of what man's saying, so they don't want to take that chance that God might have called them. So it's very easy just to use that as a cover. You know, using God's name is powerful, which it should be, but not for the wrong. So I don't know if I answered that good because I don't understand it completely, but I don't want to, you know, I want to make sure I'm, you know, saying it, you know, right. But.
Yes. No, it's fine. So how is it then that you're a very intelligent man. Very intelligent people can really be almost conned or manipulated in a way, and this is what you were referring to in the book, by church leaders, by their pastor.
Yes, that's very true. Intelligence could actually, to me, sometimes we analyze it so much we miss out on it. You know, and we don't understand, but it doesn't matter on your level of intelligence. But again, I bring that up, and I don't know. It's just that's a hard one to explain,
mm-hmm.
because I don't want to cut anybody down that's intelligent, like
no.
saying that they don't understand this or why did they miss it. Again, it's people. I thank God that they have the fear of God in them in the right way, you know, so they want to do the right thing. I believe when we're going to church or we go to church, we're going to want to do the right thing. I believe that these people do go because they want to do the right thing. But when you give man a certain type of authority or recognition, it just seems to, you know, overrule their goodness in them. And things start coming out that shouldn't be said. You know, it's just people are putting more attention to their leaders, to the church building, to the church funds than they are, and they're forgetting, you know, the main purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very important to me. One of the things that really strikes me is there's a lot of different beliefs, a lot of different religions, and a lot of them, I've been to different churches, many, you know, I shouldn't say many, but a few in different states, and it really amazed me how they all had some different things to say against each other, whether it be in a nice way or, you know, however they did it, but they all agreed with no problem on the tithe.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, they all agreed on that without any situation, without any argument, without any, you know, talking about each other like I heard a lot of, and it just amazed me on that. When it came to the money, you know, that was very important to them. That was the main thing.
Money, it seems to me that I don't know, you know, giving back, you can give back in so many other ways than just money, just currency.
Yes, that's definitely true there. And that's what I saw a lot. People were missing.
Yeah.
They were missing that. You know, it was like they were fearing. And it's just very sad because, you know, hate to say it, but, you know, lots of times we fear men, you know, mankind, and more than we do God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we show up at the church and we're there, and we're more fearful of what people are going to think of us than what God thinks of us when we leave.
Right.
You know, and so it's like, you know, I just saw a lot of things. I lived a lot of things. And again, after hearing and the people coming in and always asking me, Greg, why are you always studying? No matter what time we come in this salon, you know, you're studying and writing notes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, not realizing it was for my own peace, to make, you know, to make sure what I was thinking, what I was trying to figure out was of God.
And one thing that you mentioned in your book as well is the fact that many people look to their church leader or their pastor as actually, you know, they are speaking the word of God when we only know the word of God through our own experience and our own heart, is from what I'm hearing from you.
Yes, a lot of it, you know, I hate to say it's the beginning of wisdom to hate all evil, but, you know, it's not that way. What I mean is I see people looking towards their leaders again, you know, as God puts it. I don't like to say the scripture exactly, because I'm not one of those ones trying to memorize the Bible, you know, just because I'm able to quote this scripture, quote this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't try to do that. I'm not here to try to...
It's very intellectual.
I'm not trying to impress. I'm trying to show people that they're looking... Oh, what's that word? I had it, you know, and they're looking more towards trusting, yes, in their leaders. But there was something I was just going to say right now, but, you know, and it just...
You lost it.
Yeah, I lost it, and it was right
there.
That's
okay. It'll come back. Well, so, Greg, when you're talking about the church, is this just the Catholic Church or any church? Do you feel that there is, any kind of church that is getting it right? And do you feel that there's equal corruption in all major religions of the world?
I definitely feel that there's equal. Definitely. I don't want to cut down one. Don't want to cut down any in a sense. What I'm trying to get across is, who are we focusing on? Mm-hmm. Who are we fearing more? Are we fearing the congregation? Because when we show up to church, you know, we get in that good mood, which it should be. We get in that comfortable, nice mode. But who are we really fearing? Because when we leave that church building, I see so much of people not being the same, not even near the same, you know, and so.
So they're putting on a show at church.
Yes.
And then they're
and, you know, and again, it's because that's right there, a lot of proof that they're fearing man more than they are God, because they're being loving and so, you know, nice at church, but why not outside? God's just not in that building looking. So, you know, he's everywhere we go. So I just want people to see this. I want them to have peace, because, again, they just might be in that little bit of that bondage or that fear of man, you know, and I want them to see that. That's why I think it doesn't matter what religion, doesn't matter what church. I want people to sort of understand, who are they fearing more?
Mm-hmm.
Who are they're focusing on more? The building funds, the church leaders. You see what I'm saying?
It
could go for any church. It could go for any religion.
Well, and there's more and more coming out in media, in various sources, that is really starting to expose the corruption of some of these leaders and the wealth that they've accumulated and the lives they're living, while, you know, the people that are attending the church are just giving up all of their money. I mean,
that's it.
Yeah.
Yes, it's so sad to me. It's so sad. And yes, I know there's going to be many that are not going to agree, but my heart is more focused on, hopefully they'll be open-minded. Mm-hmm. They'll read this and see, because I believe there's a situation in what the church does not want you to know that everybody has either thought of or lived. You know, when they read this book, there's something's going to touch them.
Yeah.
That's my heart's desire, is that it could give them the freedom, you know, that God says. It's a free gift. It's very strong when you think about that. It's a free gift.
Yeah.
You know, he just wants our heart, you know, so... That's what I'm really focusing on. I really hope that people, you know, I believe that they will get, you know, a sense of peace and understanding, you know, and in a simple way. I try to give it with simplicity, you know, so that they don't have to. Hopefully, again, they get something. I believe they will get something out of this.
Absolutely.
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Whether you've already written your manuscript or are contemplating writing one, you will need to create a book proposal. ReaderViews has a coaching service to help you create an enticing book proposal for your work of fiction or nonfiction. In fact, ReaderViews will even submit your book proposal to publishers and agents they have created a relationship with, and then they promise to pursue these submissions. Go to ReaderViews.com today and click on Services for Authors to find out more information on book proposals and how ReaderViews can help you. Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. I'm talking today with Greg Espinosa. He is the author of What the Church Does Not Want You to Know. And you can find out more about Greg through his website, whatthechurchdoesnotwantyoutoknow.com. Well, you've covered a lot of different bases in this book. You know, you've explored many, many themes. And so I think that, like you say, it probably will, someone reading it, something is going to click for them.
Yes.
At some point in the book and just plant the seed to think outside the box.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm hoping for. That's what I'm believing for, because
yes.
It's to the point.
Yeah.
But again, it's not to, how can I say, judge in the wrong way. We all judge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we judge who our, you know, our children should hang out with. You know, we don't want them to be with, you know, in the wrong, you know, we all judge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're supposed to. It's in the Bible, but people say that we're not. But it's just, it's very interesting to me, because when I talk to people and I say, you know, well, you're asking me this and you're saying, you know, why don't I do, belong to a church in this, and I ask them, have you ever just really got into that word yourself and believed that, you know, God would show you and teach you? And, you know, most of the time they say no. You know, this is what we pay our pastor to do,
mm-hmm.
you know, to read the Bible for us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, I could get into detail once I get going. You know, I could really get in, and it's not to try to, degrade anyone. It's to try to give them that peace, that sense of freedom to get out of the bondage of you know, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why so many things happen. And you're right, it is being more recognized that, you know, leaders are doing this and, you know, just things that they shouldn't have done, because I don't want to put it the wrong way, you know. And,
yeah, yeah.
But people still get up there and follow them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the hard part is when they say, well, they're mad. You know, we're supposed to forgive. Jesus forgot, you know, forgive us. And I'm 100% right. They are mad. That's why no matter if they get back up again, they're going to fall. So we need to focus on God and through what his son has did on the cross for us. That's what's very important to me.
So do you think that in this time where, you know, we're in quite a crisis state right now, economically, politically, you know, there's a lot going on. And I'm wondering, as more and more people start to feel the increased pressure of financial hardship, if this may be a time where the church is going to be putting more pressure on its parishioners to tithe, or if you're going to see a lack of funds going into the church and maybe some more manipulation around that. What do you foresee with everything changing the way it is?
Well, that's very interesting you even asked that. I'm already having people, because they know, and a few people around me know that I've written this book, and they're coming up to me and even explaining that to me, how one, it's a good friend of mine that he does some pool cleaning and stuff like that, and he told me that he actually got a letter saying that he got behind on his tithes.
Oh.
And this is more than one person that I've actually
wow.
heard this, so I could say this with a pure heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that the churches they're sending out letters now, letting you know, putting this guilt on you that, you know, you're not up on your tithes. You know, you need to be back up on your tithes. And
mm-hmm.
you know, then the offering goes on, then the music goes up again, and so the emotion goes up, and then, you know,
mm-hmm.
back into the basket. And then I have people telling me the basket goes around more than, you know, once a service, but then there's three services. Then they want you back at night, and the basket goes around again that same day, and you're supposed to put in again. So I believe this book came out of the perfect timing.
Right.
You know, God is good. And,
yeah.
You know, because all the years I was writing those notes, not realizing, and yet it came out now. So it's, to me, it's like the perfect timing.
Yes.
You know, to bless people, to help them, to let them know, have a personal relationship. That's what's most important, is a personal relationship. Mm-hmm. And it could be very exciting. But, you know, again, we've been told some harsh things. And I mention it in the book. I think it's a lot safer, the book, than to me to just say it out loud here, you know.
We don't want to get too controversial today.
Exactly. We don't want to do that. It's in there, and it's, you know, some harsh things we've been told. And I just want people to know we could love God. We could love them. We could love God on our own. We could love others, you know, without having to go through this so much guilt, so much frustration.
I think that this really is timely, as you say, for a book like this, because truly we are going through a time where the illusions of many things are being shattered. And maybe this is just another part of it. You know, there has been this ongoing progression of sort of uncovering some aspects of the church that are not in line with pure intent. So I think it's really interesting. And you even have a chapter called The Illusion of Obedience to God. And then the chapter right following it is Obedience Comes from the Heart. And so I find that those two very powerful chapters, can you maybe speak a little to that? And especially the Obedience Comes from the Heart. I love that.
Well, again, it's, you know, I don't want to repeat myself, but it goes back just to simplicity. Obedience does come from our heart. It's not what we do in front of people, you know, it's what we do in front of God. When we're at home, when we're with our family, with our wives, you know, our husbands, you know, whoever, you know, either way, it's what we do from our heart. You know, God says, how does he put it? Again, I don't like quoting them exact because then they, you know, I like it to be natural anyway. You know, I want people to get in there and see for themselves, but it's from our hearts, you know, not from, he puts it sort of like, you fear me through the commandments of men, you know, and to me that's powerful. I want to fear God because I love him, because it's personal, not because somebody's telling me to fear him or someone telling me this is the way it has to be. You know, we need to love him on our own, you know, and I think that's just so important, so, so important. You know, we don't, I don't want to say that part yet. It's just, you know, we just need to, the obedience from our heart is exactly that. It's exactly that. It's from our heart, not to go out and put a show, not because someone else is telling us, you know, I know God says that, you know, whatever I say, he says. You know, it's personal.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Jesus died on the cross for, so now we could go directly to God, you know. But again, a lot of people will say, you know, I like going to worship there. I need a place to be strengthened, you know, and everybody's different, but, you know, I think more important than anything, we need to do it personally, from our heart, not for man.
Well, what is your spiritual affiliation now?
Just that.
Just
it's
that.
It's from my heart.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally from my heart. I talk to him, and again, I'm not boasting because he doesn't like that, but you're asking me, so I'm going to, you know, let you know. It's just from my heart. I talk to him daily. Mm-hmm. You know, I wouldn't know how not to. You know, that to me is the fear of God. I, you know, he's my heavenly father. So it's a daily walk with me, not a weekly, you know, not a yearly on Christmas and not, you know, on
right.
Easter only.
Right.
It's a daily walk, and it's fun. It's not bad, because a lot of people think, well, I've heard this, you know, I don't have the time. So that's why, and I feel like that's saying, well, you're just going to go pay your dues. You know, it's not like that. So, again, I want, when people read the book, I believe many of people already told me, well, what, a lot of things you're saying we all know. And I said, it's so true, but yet you're still doing it. Mm-hmm. And I said, so a lot of people that are going to read this book, it's like a third party. It helps them. It gives them a different understanding. It gives them, it lets somebody else say it.
Yeah.
So a lot of people are so fearful, again, of what man's going to think of them if they say, hey, you know, I just want to I want to love God every day, and I believe I could do that and love others mm-hmm. without belonging to a financial burden.
And being in fear.
That's right.
And controlled.
That's what I talk about a lot in my book.
Yes.
And I hope, and I really truly believe that it's going to give people a sense of freedom. It's going to give them this peace that when they read in all these situations, they're going to say, you know, wow, I thought this. I've had that, thought. Oh, my gosh. So, again, it's this third party when they read this book. And what I really believe that's going to help them more than anything, that's what I want.
I think that's a really good point because these are, like you say, these are thoughts that other people, I'm sure, are thinking, but they're just not verbalizing them because that's not obviously encouraged. So to be able to read something like this that offers a different perspective, I think people will be able to relate to that in some part deep within themselves.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And that's what I believe, too, that's going to help them pull out of this. Because, again, if you think about it, it's the reason they're not talking about it, verbalizing it, is because of the fear of man. Mm-hmm. I hate to say that, but there's a reason why they don't, because I've been there. I didn't want to say anything. When I brought something up to a pastor in Kentucky, and it's in my book, I literally got threatened that my marriage was going to be done within 3 months.
Oh, really?
If I don't go back to church. That everything will go bad within 6 months, in my life. I mean, the things that I've went through, and again, a lot of this is in my book, and so people are going to be able to relate. I really believe it doesn't matter if you belong to a church or you don't belong to a church. We're getting persecuted by men continuously. Mm-hmm. If we don't belong, we should belong. If we do belong, there's so much hypocrisy that, we should belong to another church or another religion, or different religions are trying to get everybody in their religion because there's the right religion.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm trying to focus on this, on letting people know that God, there's only one God, and this is what we need to focus on.
Do you think ultimately this boils down to self-responsibility?
It does. It does in a sense because, again, God's got such a great personality, He calls us sheep. We won't get into sheep,
Mm-hmm.
I think it's very interesting why he calls us sheep if we study about literally sheep.
Mm-hmm.
But it's they'll follow. They'll follow the one with the bell right off the cliff,
mm-hmm.
And so we're following. And it's a good thing that he calls us that, but it's also, where is our responsibility? Who are we putting it on?
Mm-hmm.
How do we put our personal relationship through another man, then it's not personal. It should be a personal relationship,
yeah.
Just like your own children. I mean, I don't send my children somewhere else to say, can you teach them how to love me?
Right.
That wouldn't be unconditional
right.
love.
Right, right.
So
tell me, you actually quote quite a bit of scripture in this book. What are your feelings about the Bible? Has that changed at all?
What do you mean? I mean, the Bible, was that what changed me?
Well, no, I'm wondering through your journey and what you now know about the church and believe about the church, did your impression of the Bible and the words in the Bible being the Word of God, did that change at all? Did you lose any faith in the words in the Bible?
Oh, I see what you're saying. No, definitely the Bible to me, I looked at it very personal. That was God's Word to me.
Mm-hmm.
And to all that look at it that way, that's what it's for.
Mm-hmm.
That's His Word to us. That want to believe, that want to try to get understanding, as he says. So as I was reading the Bible, as I was going through these situations in these churches, I just kept studying and studying. And I don't want to give off the wrong impression. I don't want people to think they need to study the Bible front to back. That's the reason I did it,
uh-huh.
on certain things. And again, I don't want to be a hypocrite saying, well, that's why I go to church. And you're saying, I should listen to your book because you studied the Bible. It's not that I read the book. It's just that God says now it's in our hearts. When Jesus died on the cross, it's now sown in our hearts that we are the church. Us as a human being, we're the church now. You know, those that believe. So the Bible was definitely a big part for what I was going through. And that's why I think and truly believe the book is going to help so many people because, you know, I studied that. I studied it front to back. Now, I didn't go to college, you know, for Bible college or different things like that. This came from my heart. This came from what I lived. Yeah. So, again, yes, the Bible was definitely a big part of it. And the certain scripture in there that I think I mentioned in the book that just, it clicked after, you know, a few months and months, if not year, when I was going through that situation, reading the Bible, it just clicked. I saw this one scripture, and it was just about everything I was feeling, going through, and it said it so clearly in it. So that was definitely a big, big part, and I'm definitely still believe in the Bible, you know, definitely.
So do you have any suggestions for people when it comes to finding a healthy spiritual organization? Are you basically anti-organization?
I know, I sort of don't like that word.
I know.
And I don't mean that mean at all, but, you know, it's a hard call for me because
there's so much out there in the way of spirituality now that, you know, so much isn't organized religion.
It's so hard. You know, that's something I couldn't really, you know, because I really, really believe with all my heart we need to love God. We need to know him every day. I'm not saying you have to read the Bible every day. It's in arts now. He makes it very clear. You just love him with all, you know, with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, so he makes it clear where we're at now. You know, he just wants us to love him from our heart. Then he wants us to love others. The world would be a lot different, but obviously, you know, easier said than done, I guess, because
right.
A lot of people are not doing that.
So it's about action.
Pardon me?
It's about action?
Yes, it's about action. So it's hard for me to say that there's what I see a lot, even in politics, even in the world today. Again, you put man as leaders, something clicks with them. Mm-hmm. And they end up, you know, we need it. It's in the Bible. We need, you know, we need law enforcement. We need certain things, definitely. But again, you know, it changes people's personality.
Yeah, power,
you know,
does.
Power.
Mm-hmm.
Power, death, it's all over. You know, a lot of the wars are because of religion,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know. And so it's hard for me to say you could belong. I feel like when you go to a church building, you know, you're belonging to a man. And, you know, because this man is telling you what he says God is telling you. So we're putting our trust in this man because of a title. And I don't want that. You know, I want people to feel free. I want them to be able to love God, literally, personally. You know, it's a personal relationship. I just keep emphasizing that because that's what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we're missing that. You know, we're looking, you know, people are looking more towards what they could do to earn, you know, the goodness of God, what they could do. We could never earn. You know what I mean? We can't ever earn it. So that's just what I feel.
So interesting. Such a fascinating journey you've been on. And really, it's quite uncanny how timely this book is right now. So you're
yes.
onto something, I think, Greg.
Yes, I believe so. More than anything, I just want people to have that freedom.
Yeah.
Because many people believe that if they don't go to church, they're going, you know, to hell.
Yeah.
And I don't want them to feel that. I want them to have freedom, to have happiness, especially right now, like you say, in this time.
Yeah.
It's very, very, it could be frustrating out here, you know,
mm-hmm.
and that's all we need now is guilt put on us.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot more.
Breaking out of that bondage.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot more I mentioned in the book, and that's why I feel everybody has thought of it or had some situation in there.
Yeah. Well, we have just sort of touched the surface of what really is in this book. And so, you know, we want to encourage all of the listeners today to check out your book and to go to your website and see how this resonates in their heart. I think you are going to touch a lot of people with this book. So let me mention your website, whatthechurchdoesnotwantyoutoknow.com. So it's the same as the title of your book. And so can it be purchased through your website, Greg?
Yes, it can.
Okay, great. Are you doing any book signings or any kind of promotions at this point?
The book just got released. So
yeah.
Right now I'm just going through some marketing, there's different companies.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sort of trying to keep it more personal with my publisher right now. And, you know, we're all just working together how to do this. I guess it's a new way now. You know, there's different ways of doing it through the Internet.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so, and it's just making it a lot easier for people to purchase books.
Yeah, yeah. So do you think with this first experience writing a book, are you feeling like maybe you might tackle this again?
I've been asked that, yeah, a few times now.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, my wife, you know, I just love her, and she just tells me, you know, it's in my heart. You know, I never thought this, never realized it, but, you know, to be able to help people and try to give them a little understanding without charging them a weekly thing, based on it. But I don't know yet, but it's definitely, you know, there.
If you're called to, you'll do it.
Yes, that's right.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'll feel it again. You know, I hope I don't have to go through another
situation.
Yeah. I did.
yeah. Put it out there. Not so harsh. Don't want the harsh experience.
That's right. That was something I don't want anybody to go through. That's why I want them to, you know, hopefully I really believe they'll get that peace and that freedom.
Oh, there's so much power in that. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story today, Greg, and talking with us. It's been a very interesting conversation, and we really wish you the best in your book and just really getting this information out there to the people that need to hear it.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you very much.
Okay. You take care of yourself, and I hope to talk with you again.
Thank you.
Okay.
You too.
Thank you. All right, listeners, that's been Greg Espinoza. His new book, What the Church Does Not Want You to Know, is out now and available at whatthechurchdoesnotwantyoutoknow.com. So please do check it out. There's a lot of information in here, and it's very readable and very transformative. So I don't know if it sounds like it resonates with you at all. I would really recommend you checking it out. So anyway, thank you so much for tuning in today and listening to this interesting conversation. This has been Inside Scoop Live. I'm Juanita Watson. And until next time.